But he's a person. And we were talking about this in our class Monday night, about the personality of the Holy Ghost. And he can be grieved. And so God tells us we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's the focus of tonight's final lesson on this maturity in chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts this evening. Guide us. We pray you'd meet with us now and be glorified in our time in your word. And Lord, each of us have come tonight expecting to hear from you. May you do that very thing through the power of your word. May we leave knowing we've been changed by it. So we commit it to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember last week, put off the old man, put on the new man. And God has now summarized for us some of the major areas where the old man gets us into trouble and grieves the Holy Spirit of God, who indwells us. He is God. We are referred to in the Bible as the temple of the Holy Ghost. And in another passage, we're referred to as the temple of God. But he can be grieved. There's another passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, "Quench not the Spirit." He can be grieved. He can be quenched. In Isaiah 63:10, the Bible says, "They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit." And so tonight we're going to focus on ways, according to God's word, that he can be grieved, things that we need to be careful of, things we need to watch out for. The old man is going to try to lead us down these paths and get us into trouble. And if the Holy Spirit's grieved, what does that do to our prayer life? Romans 8:26, what does it say? "We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Our prayer life is affected. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh," in Galatians 5:16. If he's grieved, you can't walk in the Spirit. So let's look at these things tonight. Verse 25, I mentioned them briefly last week, but now we're going to focus on each one. Lying. It's interesting that that comes first. Because it started in the garden, didn't it? The devil lying to Eve. And man's been had a problem with it ever since. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees in John 8:44? "Ye are of your father, the devil. He is a liar and was a liar from the beginning." Of all the things that Jesus could have used to describe the devil, Jesus referred to him as a liar. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." God hates lying. It's an abomination. But the old man wants to lie. We learn to lie when we're little kids. And the new man doesn't lie. But when we do lie, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Number two, anger. I'm sure nobody here has a problem with that one. That we never get angry. The problem isn't the anger, though. It's what happens. Because the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." You're going to get angry. Jesus was angry when he went to the temple and drove out the money changers. Did he sin? No. But anger can often lead to sin. As it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You see, the new man, look at verse 32, the new man can forgive one another. The new man can be gentle and tender-hearted. The new man doesn't have a problem with anger because he believes the Word of God, which says, Romans 12:19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We don't have to get angry, just give it to God. But if we're not careful, it'll lead to wrath. It'll lead to that harshness, that outpouring of the wrong things, and it'll lead to some other things, as we'll see in verse 29. So, lying, anger, and then, verse 28, laziness or idleness. Notice it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The Bible says, if any man should not work, neither should he eat. Right? 1 Thessalonians 3:10. The Bible has a lot to say about idleness and laziness in the book of Proverbs. A lot. But, you know, as we read these things, we look at them and you say, yeah, we are naturally liars. We are naturally get angry. We are naturally lazy. That's the flesh. One of the assignments for tomorrow, or what is today, Wednesday? Monday night's class is the students are putting together a list of all the synonyms that describe how bad we are. There's over 100 of them in the New Testament. We're pretty bad. And these are some of the areas where we grieve the Holy Spirit. Lying, anger, laziness, and then look at verse 29, corrupt communication. Doesn't James say that our tongue is set on the fire of hell? In James chapter 3. Our mouth probably grieves the Holy Spirit of God more than any other member. But the new man doesn't have a problem with that. Just give you an example. Look in Proverbs chapter 10. The two things that Proverbs talks about a lot are idleness and the tongue. Wonder why the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived wrote so much about idleness and the tongue. Notice Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Notice verse 20. Tongue of the just is as choice silver. That's the kind of speech God wants us to have. But we need to be praying like David. You know, in Psalm 141, verse 3, he said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Because we need help with our tongue. It's going to get us into trouble. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, every idle word. Let's never forget that. We'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. So, corrupt communication, laziness, anger, lying. There was a word that was in there too, the word clamor. That word clamor, it's not a word we use today, but it means when you get so angry that you scream out things that you shouldn't. That's clamor. But the contrast in verse 29 on the tongue, the contrast to the corrupt communication, it says edification. In other words, when we open our mouths, it's to be a blessing, not to hurt. And that is a tough battle, but it's possible as we yield to the Holy Ghost of God. Look at Colossians 4:6, just as a reminder about our tongue. and how we can be a blessing to others. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So corrupt communication is not something that should be coming out of our mouths. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And then number 5 in verse 31 is bitterness. Now before we dive into that one, notice in verse 30 it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In the midst of reminding us that we shouldn't be grieving the Holy Spirit, God is so gracious to remind us that we can't lose the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because if we could, we would. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Things were different in the Old Testament. People were not permanently indwelt like we have been since the day of Pentecost. We are so blessed to be living in the church age, the age of grace. And to be able to look at the verse like this and say, praise God, I'm sealed. Until the day of redemption, which we talked a lot about that in chapter 1, in verse 13, where the Bible said the same thing, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, He's the earnest. We looked at how He is God's down payment, God's promise that He's coming back to get us. And one aspect of that promise is the Holy Ghost is going to live in you until the day of redemption. You're sealed. And that's God's seal. But in the midst of these reminders about grieving the Holy Spirit, we're reminded we can't lose Him. Hallelujah. So number 5, verse 31, bitterness. That's a tough one. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Now, what is bitterness? Bitterness is the result of unforgiveness. That's what bitterness is. It is a deep-seated anger that we fester toward people that we're not willing to forgive. So it begins with unforgiveness, which, of course, verse 32 addresses that. Forgive as God forgave us. But when we refuse to forgive, it turns into bitterness. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, what God says about bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And look at this next passage. And thereby many be defiled. Now, how can other people be defiled by your bitterness? Well, we all know it's exactly how it works. Because when you're bitter, you got to tell other people about it, right? That's just how we're made. And so other people then take on our offense that we're not willing to forgive. And that's what he means when he says, thereby many be defiled. Well, you know what it's like when you meet a bitter person? It drags you down. And so God says it grieves the Holy Spirit. And I believe one of the reasons is because, as it says in verse 32, we're to forgive as Christ forgave. Forgiveness is the heart of Christianity. If it wasn't for forgiveness, we'd be going to hell. And God keeps reminding us that your standard of forgiveness is God's forgiveness. In other words, there's no exceptions. But when we refuse to forgive, what are we saying? It's like the parable of the man who was forgiven the unpayable debt and then turned around and sent the guy to prison for not paying a tiny debt in comparison. God said, that's what we look like when we won't forgive. He forgave us everything, and then we won't forgive one thing. So bitterness is number 5. And then number 6, verse 31, is evil speaking. Right, let's look at James chapter 4, verse 11. Notice it goes on to say, with all malice. Well, evil speaking, that's what it is. Malice means a desire to injure with what you're saying. Evil speaking, railing and slander, two other words he mentions. Things spoken to intentionally hurt. Notice James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. In other words, it's not allowed. We can't be speaking evil one of another. It is something that will grieve the Holy Ghost of God. There's a couple of other things I want to mention quickly because they happen to be in the book of Ephesians that aren't in this particular section. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. We'll call this number 7, I guess. Things that will grieve the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to leave anything out. So notice it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. So, what's the opposite of forbearance? Impatience, judgmentalism. Those things will grieve the Holy Spirit. Then notice in chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So walk in love. In other words, we're to be sacrificial for others, not, what's the opposite of that? Selfish. Of course, nobody has a problem with selfishness. And then in verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Ingratitude. You think ingratitude grieves the Holy Spirit? Look at Israel in the desert. Constant ingratitude. And then down at the end of chapter 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Rebellion will grieve the Holy Spirit. Rebellion against whatever authority God has placed over us in whatever situation that might be. But all of that is then wrapped up in this beautiful final verse, verse 32, which says, don't do any of those things, but be kind one to another. And if our tongue's not under control, are we going to be kind? Nope. If we're not forgiving, are we being kind? Nope. If we're getting angry, are we being kind? Nope. So it takes care of it all. Be kind one another. Tender-hearted, if we're tender-hearted, we're not going to have a problem with anger. We're not going to have a problem with evil speaking. Forgiving one another, that takes care of bitterness. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Matthew 18, 35. The Bible says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I like the phrase, from your hearts. That's how God wants us to forgive, from our hearts. And notice it says, forgive everyone his brother their trespasses, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, sometimes we as Christians are guilty of being like the Jehovah's Witness in our attitude toward the Holy Spirit. We forget He's a person. They look at Him as a force. We were talking about this in class recently. They don't believe He is a person. They believe the Holy Spirit's just a force that God uses to move things around and do stuff. We know that He is God. God the Spirit. He's a person and He lives in us. He indwells us the day we get saved. And we need to remember that as a person, He can be grieved. And what grieves Him is our behavior. Because if we're walking in Him, if we're yielded to Him, if we're filled with Him, these things don't take place. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So He's there to help us. He's there to bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He's there to do whatever it takes for us to live for Jesus. But He doesn't force it to happen. Remember that. He's a person. He wants us to commune with Him. He wants us to yield to Him. He wants us to submit to Him. He wants us to empty ourselves and be filled with Him so that we will be the kind of Christian He wants us to be. But He definitely does not want us to grieve Him. And these are 8 or 10 ways in which He can be grieved. We'll know when He's being grieved, because our prayers are going to feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling, because they are. He's waiting for us to get things dealt with. And when we go to pray, He keeps bringing up these things. Say, well, when are you going to deal with this? And we say, well, I'll deal with that later. I just want to pray. And He keeps saying, when are you going to deal with this? Because until you deal with that, your prayers are hindered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. So let's not grieve Him. And if He's grieved, it's not going to be a mystery to us. We'll know He's grieved. And He's waiting for us to deal with it. He is God. Never forget that. And our gracious, loving God loves us enough not only to save us, but to indwell us until the day of redemption.